You are listening to the Hodges Huddle, where we discuss all things in the wide world of sports. Here is your KLSU sports team.
Welcome into the Hodges Huddle. I'm your host, Andre Champagne, and today I'm joined by Raven Freeman and Jaden Smith. How's it going, everybody? I know what you're finna say.
Calm little Tuesday, man. Throwing a nice little outfit.
Okay,
could say. I actually wore shoes today, so.
Ooh, yeah, I didn't see that.
It's looking good today.
Our coworker Andon said it looked like I was having a rough day based off my hair, so I guess I'm having a rough day.
Well, that doesn't matter anymore because we're here to talk sports. Oh, okay. So your day is about to get better, is what I'm saying. But many sports have wrapped up, as we will now have to wait until the fall for football, but the NBA playoffs are approaching. So we're going to talk about that. But first, let's talk about this LSU spring game. LSU spring game on Saturday ended in a tie for the second year straight as the score was 34-34. Garrett Nussmeier shined as he threw for 187 yards on 7 of 7 completions with 2 touchdowns. This was also a game where the defense looked like it struggled at times, but also they had some good moments besides a few of those big plays they gave up. So let's get into a few takeaways. First off, offensively, losing a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, it's super hard for a team, but being able to replace him is even harder.
Right.
So do you think Nuss is going to do a good job of taking over this offense? And what were some things that kind of stood out to you in this game?
I think it depends on what we consider a good job. Good job as in, are they going to average 47 points a game again? No, that's just not going to happen. Nuss is not going to throw for 3,800 yards and rush for 1,000. But good job as in, we're going to get some really good wins. We're going to see some really good moments. We're going to see big plays here and there. Absolutely. And I think ultimately his play style is going to be allow us to have a little bit of the fun that we did have last year. It's just going to look a lot differently. And we saw that with the Relic West Bowl against Wisconsin.
Yeah,
the offense looked different even then.
It was pass heavy, yeah.
Exactly. So I just think it's just going to look a lot different. But I do think it'll result in wins nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think Jaden left what's left of this offense in a good place. And I feel like that's a huge benefit for Garrett. I think based off the spring game, he's going to do – you know, an okay job at taking over this offense. It's going to be hard to do what Jaden did. He looked very comfortable in the spring game, though. I mean, he showed off that arm. We all know he has. Mm-hmm. He was also able to get himself out of potential sack situations while still making completions, which is important after having an elite quarterback like Jaden. That's something that we all want to see. I feel like he also has a great relationship with these players, which is also a key factor. Ever since my freshman year, when Max Johnson was starting, Nuss was right there. Mm-hmm. No matter the situation, supporting his teammates.
Yeah, and after watching Nuss in that bowl game, like Jaden said, and now the spring game, you can kind of see the strides that he's taking, especially from when you first watched him, when he, you know, first stepped foot on campus, had to, you know, go in the year, my freshman year, and he played against Arkansas, and he threw a few picks in that game that he shouldn't have.
He threw one in the end zone.
Yeah, to end the game almost. And like I said, the talent is completely there. The arm is phenomenal. Question for him is going to be the pocket presence. Yeah. Is that going to be there? And also accuracy with the tight coverages where he's shown he can throw the interceptions. And I think he'll be able to read defenses better because he's been in the room and he's been in the system for so long now. He's also he's had a great example. I mean, look what Jaden Daniels did. He pretty much set the standard for those guys in terms of, hey, if you want to, you know, be as great as I was, you're going to have to put in the hours. You're going to have to go watch film early at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be able to do that. It's obviously not going to be Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And we know this. They play two different games. But if you can just run the offense efficiently, this team's going to score a lot of points. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be fine. But just the only thing I'm worried about is because you know how LSU fans are. We get spoiled and
they're like,
that's just normal.
Yeah, remember after Joe Burrow.
Exactly. I would just hate for people to see the offense look different and think, oh, we're just a bad team, and that's just not the case.
But I feel like that's to be expected, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, like, once you've been on campus for so long and you're a vet, and kind of obviously we saw the talent from him, so, like, it is expected. Now, like, going and, you know, putting up Heisman numbers every game, that's not what we're asking.
Right.
We're just asking you to go run the offense efficiently, get us the points. Yeah. Don't turn the ball over.
Right.
Like, that's literally all you need. The yeah. defense is going to be a lot better this year, which we'll talk about soon. Mm-hmm. But as far as a quarterback two battle, who do you think won that position battle and why? This weekend, I guess.
I'm going to go with Hurley.
Oh.
After watching this spring game, to me, I had no doubt he'd be.
He played the best out of any of those quarterbacks for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to talk about Ricky Collins. He was just hesitant the whole time he was on the field. I feel like he didn't really show off any of his talents like I know he could have. I mean, there was just no wow factor to me.
Yeah.
He just looked like a mediocre quarterback. On the other hand, Hurley was throwing the ball on the run. He looked in the pocket, and he even showed how much his deep ball has developed. I mean, that dot he threw to Preen.
Yeah, Kai Preen.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter was incredible. Of course, we know there's still some time to make a decision, but for now, I'm going to go with Hurley.
Okay.
I'd have to go with A.J. Swan. I would agree with y'all in the fact that Hurley probably looked the best, but I went to the press conference after the spring game, and Brian Kelly did touch on that a little bit. And basically, my takeaway was just the fact that Brian Kelly seems to be a guy that values
experience
over anything else.
It's true.
At least, even if you're not that good, at the very least, you can say, well, at least he's done it before.
Yeah.
He's been in that situation. So I just think, just from that standpoint alone, I think that'll give Swan
a little
the
bit of
edge.
That. Yeah. A little bit of an advantage.
Right.
I'm actually going to go Ricky Collins as a quarterback, too. I think, obviously, he didn't pop out to many people during that spring game. But in practices, he's been the clear number two. And I think he's improved with his accuracy. He's been putting in training with Jaden Daniels in the offseason. I know they went to L.A. and practice with you know, a bunch of other guys. But if he can stay in the pocket longer than he did his freshman year and just kind of – because that's something we saw with Jaden Daniels at first.
Yeah.
He wanted to run first, and that's kind of what we saw from Ricky in the spring game.
He does have some wheels.
And I will say, I think that's what puts him at two is his mobility. Mm-hmm. Because A.J. Swan, he ain't getting out of the pocket. Yeah. but shifting towards a receiver similar to Jaden Daniels, LSU had to replace two top first-round picks in Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. Do you think the production from that room will be able to reload and get a similar production than it did last year? I mean, it's definitely possible with all the guys that they have.
No. just from those two, no. Like, we're not going to have 2,000-yard receivers with 15 touchdowns each.
No.
Now, we may have an 800-yard receiver, a 600-yard receiver,
seven,
a 400-yard You know, I think the offense will be more of that, if anything, but I just don't see us having – I don't see Kyron Lacy in Biletnikoff talks. I just don't see that. I think he can be a 1,000-yard guy. I'm looking for him to be because he had a really good year last
year,
especially for a third option. But I just don't think it would really even be possible to have back-to-back groups with 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
I mean – it's pretty hard to replace what Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. Brought to the table. I mean, they made LSU the number one offense in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, to get or even expect that same production in just one offseason.
Yeah,
it's just not very
real. Right, right.
I think that this receiving room is going to be a lot better than people, you know, outside of LSU are expecting it to be. Like, Kyron Lacy literally didn't even try on Saturday, and he pulled that 59-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And hit Ashton Stamps with a double move, and he was literally, like, nowhere near him. So, I mean, like, just in that, I think that shows how much Kyron Lacy's developed.
Yeah.
And you also look at just the depth in the room. You look at Chris Hilton, and now we're, LSU is expecting so much out of him after he's been there for so long. And then you have guys like C.J. Daniels, Xavion Thomas, Kai Preen, Aaron Anderson.
Yep.
All those guys can – you know, you can comfortably say, like, if someone's not performing how you want to perform, it's next man up at that point. And you have to feel comfortable in that situation. Where last year, it's like, outside of those top two, three guys, it's like, all right, who's going to do the work?
And that is something very comforting. The only difference is just, like, last year, Malik and BT getting hurt never crossed my mind. And
it was definitely something that had to be brought up, though. Yeah.
And it never, like, dawned on me like, they might not play good today.
Right.
Just because they were just that good. But like I said, I just think the production, I don't think it'll be necessarily worse or anything like that. It's just, like I said, the offense is going to look different. It's just going to look different.
And kind of piggybacking off that question, who are some of the receivers that you expect to be big for LSU this year, kind of stepping up?
So I am going to go with Kyren Lacy. Okay. I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone is expecting this to be his breakout season, especially because it's his last, and he has the speed and the hands to accomplish that. He's a vet, and I believe he's learned a lot from Neighbors and BT. I mean, I'm excited to see him play and see what improvements he's made. Last season, he had 30 receptions, 550 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I'm also curious to see how his stats change.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kyren's a great answer. I think it's just the obvious answer. Yeah. I mean, the fifth-year
guy. I mean, he's going to break out.
This is supposed to be his breakout year. But for the sake of a different answer, I'm going to go with Aaron Anderson. This is a guy I've been high on him since he was in high school. Man, I said this on the Sunday show. They were also using a lot more bubble screens, flare screens than I've seen them use in the past this Saturday. And I think he's going to be probably the biggest beneficiary of that type of play style. I mean, that's right up his alley. A guy who's small, super-duper so fast, get blockers in front of him, and he'll just do the rest for you.
Yeah, if he can develop that route tree, because I actually have Aaron Anderson too, but I'm going to give a different answer. But, like, if he can develop that route tree, he's going to be one of the best slot guys in the entire country. And I think another player is C.J. Daniels. I think he can go and be that second guy because he had 1,000 yards last year. And his ability to read defenders' positioning and then pick them apart with his route running, he's really smart the way that he plays.
Yeah.
And I think he's a guy that LSU can kind of rely on in big-time moments, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you want a guy that has experience.
Yeah.
He's been there, and he can make the clutch plays. And I think he's going to be one of those guys for LSU down the line. But what were your kind of just general takeaways from the offense? I know we kind of just explained it. Like, what did you like, I guess, most?
My general takeaway is that there is still going to be excitement in Tiger Stadium on Saturdays, because that was the big question mark to me. Like, yeah, we had the best offense in the country last year, but I saw us do that with 2019, and the next year, we're just not even close to that. So what is it going to look like this time? But this time, it appears to be a much better situation coming off an offense like that. They're still going to be big-time players, big-time plays. They're still going to put up a lot of points. Like I said, it's just going to look a lot different. And secondly to that, I would say Garrett Nussmeier. And Michael noted this on the Sunday show, that when they were doing, like, just the little scrimmages before the actual game,
he didn't
complete a single pass. And then they actually turned up the pressure. They actually launched the game, and he went 7-for-7. So, like I say, Brian Kelly's big on experience, and I think that's just a testament to Garrett's composure, his calmness, his development, and I think we'll see that on Saturdays.
Okay.
Yeah. Takeaways. It's definitely the start of something great. Mm-hmm. The spring game gave me a lot of hope. Last season will be hard to top, but they have definitely built, you know, even a young, fast offense that will give teams a run for their money for sure. Also, we didn't really talk about the run game, but that hasn't really changed since last season that much. Mm-hmm. Josh Williams, Caleb Jackson.
Yes.
Really
Caleb
good.
Jackson is so good.
So I'm excited to see them dominate on this offense as well.
Yeah, and I think LSU's they're going to be pass heavy, but they're not going to be as pass heavy as they were last year. I think you're going to see a lot more running. Caleb Jackson can break it free, and just wait till you get the track star in Caden Durham on campus. I mean, he's setting records in Texas track, which is, you know, like,
and Texas
is elite. That's the best athletes pretty much when it comes to anything. But my general takeaways was that the offense made the defense look so bad because the offense is still elite. Like, you look at, you know, what Joe Sloan and Cortez Hankton are doing with the offense, they're going to be just fine. Like, I think LSU made a big deal out of Mike Denbrock. Mike Denbrock was a great mind, no doubt. But I love having a collaborative thing. Two brains are better than one.
Yeah.
And two very young minds are better than one. Yeah. So I think they know what it takes to be at the top in terms of production and creativity.
Yeah.
And LSU has all the talent in the world as far as skilled players. And then we didn't even mention offensive line is going to be the best in the entire country. Yeah. So LSU is going to be able to run it up, you know, teams' throats pretty much. But shifting towards the defense, this is a unit that is looking to bounce back after holding back the most talented offense last year.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the nicest way to put it. They're returning lots of young players that did get experience last year, which is pretty nice, and it helps new elite coaching. Will also help provide some fixtures to that. So even though the defense gave up some big plays on Saturday, what did you think about the defensive back room as a whole?
I'm glad these mistakes. I was disappointed. But I'm glad these mistakes are being made now. Opposed to the middle of the season during SEC play.
That's what the spring game's for. Right.
There's definitely a lot of potential. And I thought, you know, despite the busted coverage and other issues, they faced this group. Like, they would come back to the sideline, you know, they'd be concerned. And, like, they want to know their corrections. Mm-hmm. They could get back on the field and play better, which is up in the right position. I mean, a step in the right direction. Cough, cough, laugh season. So, they didn't look good necessarily. But the will to want to learn gives me hope, which is sad to say because the defense last year was such a letdown, but those are kind of the terms that I have to use.
Yeah, like, it's – they knew. They know, too. Like, and they're using that, you know, this year. They're not going to do the same thing as they did last year. Yeah. That's not even like
– Like, they were so bad, it'll be hard to do what they did.
Don't speak it into existence.
Raven, you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, there was times last year it seemed like – I mean, outside of Harold Perkins, it just seemed like they didn't care if the other team got
just
to
out
the end zone.
Yeah.
We just out here. I already got my NIL deal signed. Like, I'm good, right?
Yeah.
But more specifically, I would say I was impressed with the DB's ability or their consistency in playing the football when the ball was thrown their way.
Yes.
Because last year, that is something, I don't know, they couldn't do it for the life of them. And so many plays we got bombed on and picked on because – we didn't play the ball or just didn't know how to play the ball or just weren't in position. So outside of that busted coverage that they had twice on Xavion Thomas and Kyron Lacy, I was most impressed with their ability to play the ball. And as we see, it even worked out for them a couple of times. It's amazing what you can do when you actually put
your hands up. And like, you can't say the talent's not there because it's definitely there.
It was there last season.
Like, this might be a hot topic. I thought that I'm in my emo phase, guys. I thought the DBs actually played solid. I love how they pressed on the line. And they looked really physical. Like, just looking from last year, they looked physical. They were ready to make a play. They were hitting hard. And I thought they tackled pretty well other than those blown coverages. Like, they made the open field tackle. It's not like they were giving up one big play in one, you know, you knew it was going to happen. Last year, like, let's just say it was going to be a few plays. This spring game, they were bending, and like I said, it took way more plays for them to go down and score on this defense. You have to, like, you have to put into account how good this offense is going to be, too, though.
That is true.
Yeah. Just hearing you list off like that is taking me back to how bad this defense was.
Oh, I remember.
Because you said the words open field tackle, and my mind instantly thought Ole Miss game, bro. Like,
Ole Miss. Terrence
Lord.
Well, let's not even
Major
name.
Major Burns.
I'm not even going to name names here.
Lord.
But as far as shutting down the run game, first string defense did a really good job of that.
Yeah.
What defensive lineman maybe caught your eye on Saturday? And you want to go first?
I have freshman Gabriel Roford. I mean, although he didn't face LSU's first team tackles like Will Campbell and Emory Jones, I mean, it was still a big time showing for him. He played phenomenally. He ended the game with a pair of tackles, several quarterback hurries for this LSU defense, and proved he can be a key in this defense.
Yeah.
He's so young.
Yeah, I would say the defensive line, just in general, they looked much more assertive and physical because last year, oh my gosh.
Last year.
I don't know how many. Let me not even say those two words. Yeah, like, you're not going to let me sack him? Oh, my bad, dude. My bad, bro.
Come right through.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Bro, but like I say, they looked much more assertive, physical, and they looked like they actually cared about stopping the run.
It's exciting because the first team, I know Caleb Jackson ran off on that break the run, but that was the second string.
Yeah. And also, they have the best O-line in the country, so
that's just what I'm saying.
Hard to really judge.
So, but that's the thing. They shut down the run against the best offensive line in the country almost. Yeah. So I thought that was very impressive. As far as run stuffing, I think Bo Davis is going to have that figured out. Mm-hmm. Where last year, oh my goodness, the gap filling. Like I said, we could go on and on, but we're not doing that today.
Yeah.
I have Deshaun Womack. I thought Womack played really well.
Okay.
You know, he was very well at getting to the ball and assisting tackles. Yeah. Sean Washington, that's a guy that came out of Georgia.
Yeah.
I thought he did well as far as getting to the back. Pear Shan even had, you know, a nice game.
I'm glad to see Womack getting some reps, bro. Last year, even though he was in limited reps, every time he did get the reps, it always seemed like he did something to at least try to ignite the defense.
But as far as the defense as a whole, what were some positives you saw like in that unit? I know we kind of just talked about it, but just wrapping up there.
Open field tackling. Open field tackling killed us last year. It almost killed us against Missouri. It killed us against Ole Miss. It killed us against Alabama because Jalen Milroe turned into Michael Vick. I mean, that's really my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, they can tackle.
Up. If you're going to let them run for 10 yards, okay, let it be 10 yards. Don't let it turn into 23.
And they really didn't do that in this game. Like, they might have, like, a few missed tackles, but they were really hard plays to make. Like, they had broke free at that point.
Right,
you know?
Because last year it looked like a slip and slide at times.
Yeah.
a literal slip and slide.
What do you think?
After this, we can put how bad the previous defense was to rest, but I mean, I'm still going to say, like,
I hope.
How.
It's just a good example for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, their will to just want to go out and play. Like, that was just so positive to me. Like,
yeah.
I was watching it during the baby shower, and I was like, y'all just, you know, have some go power. I mean, yes. Some
go big, team.
Yeah.
I mean, and like Andre said, the younger guys that really didn't get experience last year, it was nice to see them pop off this spring game as well. I mean, Womack, I was waiting to see what he was going to do. Yes, some big plays were given up. Yeah. Hey, that's just all a part of the process, learning how to play good defense. And you could tell, like I said previously, when they made a mistake, they wanted to fix it. I like the drive this new defense has. And it's already a step up from last season. So,
yeah.
And I also feel like with the elite coaching they have guiding them,
they'll be fine.
We'll see a huge difference on the defense.
I agree. And I thought, like, it's as simple as, like, gap filling. Yeah. Last year, LSU could not fill it. Like, look, I'm not even, like, laughing anymore. Everyone's going to think that we're making fun. It's just a good example. Like, obviously, everybody knows how big of a letdown they were last year. They know that. And they're talented enough to be good.
Yeah.
And it was a scheme issue. It really wasn't at some point. And it was a mechanics thing. It was just a lot of things that played a role in them not being able to succeed, but that's not going to be the case this year.
Yeah.
They did a great job of hitting the holes and stuff in the line, which was something, like I said, they couldn't do consistently last year. I thought the linebackers were phenomenal. And I think that the pressures were there for the line. Like I said, last year, you just didn't see a lot of pass rushing. You didn't see people get home, and you saw that this week. And I thought that was pretty nice. But going forward, I know it's too early to tell. But do you think this team is capable of making the playoffs? It is expanded now. It's 12 teams. So,
To me, this is a new team for the most part. I mean, with the huge adjustments that had to be made on offense due to losing our three best players, on top of the defense sort of going through a rebuilding process, I don't want to jinx anything. I've been told to believe I'm bad luck.
I don't think it matters.
I could see us being the last team, the 12th team, to make the playoffs, but I would not be surprised if we did not make it.
Yeah.
My hopes are not very high.
All right, so I have a question. Do y'all think we're a better team this year than last year?
I actually do. And that's the craziest part. I think, like, the defense is going to be – I think they're going to surprise everyone this year.
I think,
but like that's in here. Like they have better coaching. They have, you know, if they have stuff that they need to fix, it's gonna get fixed this year. It's not gonna just linger around like it did last year.
Right.
I can tell you, those guys like Corey Raymond, Bo Davis, Kevin Peoples, they're not gonna let that just happen. Blake Baker. Yeah. I mean, the scheme that they're in now, you didn't see it in the spring game because why would we show anything that you know? Like I said,
you can explore.
They're aggressive. They can play freely now. This is something I kind of talked to Savion Jones. They have leadership. Major Burns is holding guys accountable. Everybody's holding each other accountable at that. It's different this year. Yeah. And it's early in the spring. Obviously, you're going to have those errors. You don't even have your freshmen, most of your freshmen there.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's just wait till fall. This team is going to look extremely different.
And the reason I ask is because we would have missed it last year if it were 12. I think we were like 13, so we would have just missed it.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah. And as far as my prediction, I'm going to say no. Just because as an LSU fan, I don't like getting my hopes up. I hate getting my hopes up only to be let down because it always seems to happen. Mm-hmm. We always seem to be best when I don't expect it or like when I don't see it coming. So I'm going to just try to play possum and just try to act like I don't see it coming. Just shoot low and we'll see what happens.
And I'm actually going to counter off of that because usually when I think LSU is going to be very good, they're very good. Like it's weird. Like baseball last year, I knew that was the year they were going to win. And everybody kind of knew that too. 19, I had a little bit of a feeling that LSU was going to, you know, surprise a lot of people. But I'll say they're definitely capable of making the playoffs.
Sure.
The experience and coaching for me, that's really what gives them a better shot than they did last year. The experience, like I said, the defense has experience. Last year they were all young. Like they were put in the fire, like, hey, go out there and hope you don't get burnt. Like and that just came with, hey, we don't have coaches that can help these guys. And as far as the offense, you're in the same system. They have so many experienced guys that have been in the system, they should be fine. So I'll say they can even win a playoff game this year. But finally, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs approaching. We are currently recording this on Tuesday, and there are play-in games tonight. So I'm going to ask you, just give me the winners so we can kind of get through these. First off, we have Lakers-Pelicans tonight, and we have a very big LeBron fan and a very big Pelicans fan in the building.
I'm going to go with Lakers. I just think in both – the Lakers have played the Pelicans twice this season in games that mattered.
Yeah.
And both times, it was ugly. And that's not even me trying to be like, you know,
no,
shade
it was,
or anything.
It was bad.
It was bad. So just going off of that, I just can't find any reason why I would pick the Pelicans now.
Right. I mean, this game is kind of like the new schoolers versus the OGs. But
one OG at that.
But, you know.
Bron.
Just one.
I was about to say, these OGs are kind of running out of steam, but I'm still going to go with the Lakers. I wouldn't be surprised if the Pelicans.
Yeah, I actually have the Pelicans here because this might sound very stupid. I think that the Lakers might try and throw this one so that they don't have to play the Nuggets like they did last year. Because look at it. If you look at it like this, I know it sounds stupid.
No, it's funny because.
No, even the Pelicans, like, I would not want to be seeing the Nuggets as a two seed. Like, good luck, buddy, for both of those teams. Because both of these teams, let's be real, they're probably first-round exits anyway. But if the Lakers were to go and lose this and win the next game, they'd have to play against a very, very young, inexperienced team that's not used to this. And who is better at exposing that than anyone? Look what Bron did to the young the youngsters of Memphis last year.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny because Ann and I were just talking about this before the podcast about how he saw the thing about, oh, the Lakers should tank the game. And he's
I don't think they should.
He said he was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like, why would you intentionally lose a game?
That's what
I just
saying.
Thought it was.
I don't think they will, right? But I don't think it's the worst thing if they lose this game because they'll go and beat the other team.
Yeah.
Like, they'll go and beat the old head Warriors now and the Kings, who have honestly been the Lakers kryptonite. But next up, Warriors Kings.
I'm gonna go Warriors. I'm looking for a big Steph game.
Yeah.
I mean, he tortured them last year. They didn't have any answer
serious,
for him. And I just don't see it changing. Now, the Warriors are a very dangerous team when they have their backs against the wall.
Yeah.
Very, very dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was just about to say. I mean, I'm going to go Warriors. The Kings have a good team, but we all know the superpowers the Warriors develop.
I'm going Kings. I'm just going to go Kings because Kings have literally owned the Warriors this season. Like, it's just weird. It's kind of like how the Pelicans own the Kings. It's so weird. Like, the Kings have beat the Warriors so many times this year. But I like where your head's at because Curry – When there's, you know, something on the line, usually, you know, steps up. It's going to come down to old old man Draymond Green.
Just when you count Golden State out, that's when they'll come back and surprise you.
Next up, we have playoff Jimmy Butler versus the 76ers. Because it's literally going to be Jimmy Butler versus the entire team of the 76ers.
Yeah, I'm not counting Joel Embiid out this early.
I'm going to go with the Sixers.
Yeah.
He have no answer, not even for Joel Embiid, because nobody has an answer.
I mean, Bam.
They don't have an answer.
Bam too little.
He's just too small, bro.
Yeah.
They don't have an answer for Tyrese Maxey, though. I mean, who's going to put Tyler Herro?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Terry Rozier?
Oh, I mean, like, Jimmy Butler's going to... He's going to go off on Tobias Harris.
I just don't see it. I just think that flame is burnt out. But look, we'll see tonight.
I got the Sixers too. Hawks, Bulls.
I'm going to go with the Hawks. Trae Young came back just in time and was picked up right where he left off. Yep. Should have been an all-star, by the way, but that's neither here nor there. DeJounte Murray also played lights out this year. And I just don't think the Bulls have it. And I think after this, the Bulls are going to break up DeRozan and Zach LaVine, and I think
Bulls are in poverty. They're poverty.
It's gonna be it.
Yeah, because of Young, I chose the Hawks too.
Yeah, I have the Hawks as well. Now, like really quickly, like I said, so we can wrap this up.
Yeah.
We have the Western Conference side. So give me the winner out of the series, the set series right now: Minnesota Timberwolves, Phoenix Suns. Who do you have in that one?
Timberwolves.
That one's hard.
I'm gonna go Timberwolves just because the Twin Towers, and I just don't think. I don't think Phoenix has a big enough presence.
On down low, they
down
don't.
Low to bother Cat, to bother.
Nas.
Well, I don't want to say bother Gobert, but.
Nas Reed.
Nas Reed is a 7-footer, bro. Yeah. Like, Phoenix just doesn't have.
They don't have the big guys.
They just don't have
and they don't
the
have the
size.
Depth either. They just don't have the depth.
Yeah.
I said Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, sorry. I have Timberwolves in seven.
Yeah.
Clippers, Dallas, Mavericks.
Ooh.
This is a really good series.
I'm going to go with Luka. Every time Luka sees the Clippers, his food,
them.
He spanks them. He owns them.
What did Shannon say?
Yams.
Yeah.
Yams, collard greens, mac and cheese. Like, bro, it's food, bro. Like, I don't know what Luka has against the Clippers, but it's never pretty when he sees it. So I'm going to go with the Mavs.
Cool.
And now he has Kyrie.
Yep.
Yeah, to me, that duo.
Is too much.
Yeah.
I've actually got the Clippers. I've always been high on this team for some reason. I think, like, if they were to ever get it together, they would be so, so good, man. I mean, you have so, like, such a talented roster, and you just throw it away. I mean, I don't understand what Ty Lue is doing.
They've also gotten unfortunate a couple times.
With injuries, of course, but I have the Clippers in six.
Okay.
Eastern side, really quick, let's go. Bucks, Pacers. This is a pretty cool matchup as well.
I'm going to go Pacers. The Bucks are preparing to be without Giannis for they're not even saying game one. They're saying the start of the series. So that could be game one, two.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
However, and I just think the Pacers have given Milwaukee problems
all season.
They've had their number all season, bro. I'm going to go with Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Pacers.
I'm going Bucks just because of experience. Haliburton has not been playing well.
He hasn't.
And for that reason, I have to go with Dame time. The man is a different dude when the playoffs come into play. Next up, we have probably my favorite matchup of the Eastern Conference playoffs. We have the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic.
Mm. Ooh, Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's my singing.
Yeah, I do. You can't hate that song. Like, it's so fun.
It's so good. I think the Magic have looked so good this season.
They have. They have, like, completely under the radar.
Yeah, I mean, I have them winning just based off, like we just talked about, their season. I think they could be.
Gritty. Yeah. They're gritty.
I'm going to have to go with the Magic, too. I just think Cleveland has the same problems that they've had last year. And the same reason that they got bounced to New York is going to be the same reason they get bounced to Orlando. They don't have reliable guys that you can call on in the clutch.
Yeah.
They freeze up all of a sudden. They can't get a shot
Mitchell.
Anymore. You got Donovan Mitchell.
And then after that, it's like.
After that, it's.
Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert.
It's like crickets.
Yeah.
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 So I'm going to have to go with Orlando.
I say that, but I'm going Cavs in seven. I think Jared Allen's, like, going to turn up the heat. In this series, I don't know why. I think it's a bad matchup.
I don't know. Just hearing Jared Allen just made me laugh.
Dude, he's actually underrated in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
But finally, give me your two finals teams really quick that you can see just kind of quickly.
You really want my two finals teams?
Yeah, sure. Just say it.
Celtics.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it, bro. And Lakers. It's going to be the Celtics and Lakers for the 100th time.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Okay.
But let's be realistic. I have the Celtics and the Nuggets.
Okay, Celtics Nuggets. Okay, that is a more...
Mark my words. The Nuggets will not be
we
back.
Are recording it on April 16th at 5:23 p.m. Jaden has lost his mind, and he has gone with the
Mark
Lakers.
My words.
Not the Lakers.
The Nuggets will not be in the NBA Finals this season.
Okay,
I
well,
guarantee
that's not crazy to say.
Okay, I actually have the Celtics or the Magic against the Nuggets.
Magic? Okay.
I'm putting the Magic.
All right. I don't hate it. Whatever. I'll go Celtics, Clippers.
Oh.
I don't know why I'm so high on this Clippers team, but I could see the Nuggets too. And NBA champion. Give me.
Celtics.
It's too
Look,
hard
man,
to go
if,
up.
If y'all ain't got it this year, bro, y'all the only team to win 60 games.
Yeah.
Y'all have been the best team all year.
And they
you
haven't
got
been
all
healthy
the players
all year.
You need.
Yeah.
Bro, you got the experience. Come on, dog. This has to be it.
Celtics, no doubt. If y'all don't win this one, then I'll win.
Yeah, this is literally a triple sweep, and we don't even talk that much about NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got the Celtics. And then give me finally a player to watch for in the playoffs. I'll go first. I have Donovan Mitchell. The guy is scoring like a very quiet 26 a game, which might not seem like a lot compared to some of these other guys like Luka, Shea, but very slept on game in general. And I think the Cavs have a chance of going on a bit of a run in the playoffs if they can get past the Magic.
Yeah.
Another guy I could see, Jalen Brunson. Like, Brunson is so good.
Yeah.
He's pretty much carried this Knicks team, but I don't like – I don't know. Without Julius Randle, I can't see them going very far.
I mean, I have Jokic. I mean, there's just no stopping him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Jalen Brunson and Anthony Edwards. I'm expecting Brunson and Edwards to do something special this postseason, and mainly because I'm expecting Brunson to get snubbed a little bit on the All-NBA list. And I do think that's going to be a reflection of his performance in the postseason. Yes. And Anthony Edwards, I want to say Ant averaged 30 in the first round last year. So Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson.
Okay. It's now time, y'all. Where's this thing? I have to do it. It is time for the best segment of the week. It's time for our weekly Poo Poo Broussard, where this award goes to the worst performance of the week. Whether that's a team, that's a player, that's a coach, fan base, whatever. So, Raven, let's turn it to you first.
So, I am going to go with the Navarro Large Coed Cheer Team. Daytona, which is NCAA for college cheer.
They don't even know you're throwing strays right now.
It was last Saturday, and Navarro lost their coach. They've been through a lot of controversy, and with their coach being gone, they lost a lot of key athletes, some of them transferred, some of them left, and they have talked the most smack I've ever seen on cheer Twitter. They swore they were going to win. They weren't going to win. Not only did they go out there and lose, they dropped two stunts, like dropped the girl on her neck.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
And, you know, Trinity Valley, y'all deserve it. Love y'all. So, Navarro, you looked very dumb, and people told y'all were going to look dumb, but y'all swore y'all were going to go out there and make a miracle happen. It was very tragic.
She got beef.
Funny at the same time.
Beef with Navarro.
Yeah,
okay. Hold on.
My poo-poo starter this week is going to have to be none other than Mr. Jontay Porter of the Toronto Raptors.
Is that the betting?
Yeah. This guy, I'm not even sure this guy had like a real contract. Like,
you think he's fake?
No, like, I don't think they had actually signed him to
an actual contract.
Yet.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, nah.
And
he's a two-way player right now?
A two-way player. And you have the nerve to be betting the little money you do, you know, let me not say that. To be betting the money.
He's
the
making
money,
more money
yeah,
than us, baby.
To be betting the money you are making, betting the under on yourself. You get caught faking an illness. Oh, I don't feel good, y'all. I can't come back in the game. And now it's like, oh, yeah, you're never playing in the NBA game.
No. Nah.
You're probably basketball, period, but definitely not in the NBA.
Get ready to go high school coach, buddy.
This is shameless.
At college?
This is ridiculous. And I think because of this, they're going to start looking into
betting props,
restrictions or something like to keep players from doing this because this is ridiculous, bro.
So, say it.
So, Jontay Porter, you are my poo-poo starter of the week.
That is actually a crazy story. Yeah. So this week I'm going to go a little different than I usually do. I'm going a UFC fighter, baby. I'm going with Jamal Hill this week because he talked a whole lot of smack leading up against his fight against Alex Pereira. Absolute beast, by the way. Dude's won two titles in two different weight divisions. And Jamal Hill is coming off of an Achilles injury where literally was saying, like, guarantee it. I'm winning this fight. I'm winning. Like, and the odds were not, you know, they weren't too big in Pereira's favor. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to talk smack, you have to at least last one round or even more than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
He got smacked down. I watched his eyes go to the back of his head after one punch from Alex Pereira. So just from that, Jamal Hill, you are my poo-poo Broussard of the week. But that is going to do it for us here on today's episode. I want to thank Jaden Smith and Raven Freeman for joining me. I'm Andre Champagne, and this has been the Hodges Huddle.